This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, it's week 35 of 2020, and welcome to the podcast about the fun we have in our home theaters, where we talk about our favorite movies, our favorite scenes, all the fun stuff we like to do once we get our theater set up. This week, we have a really good home theater to feature from Brian Fuller. We have a bunch of comments to get to, and I think 21 Bridges is a home theater movie, even in Blu-ray. I'm going to make my case for that this week. We'll get to more on that, how I decided to do 21 Bridges this week. We'll get to all of that in a little bit. But I'd like to thank everybody for their responses to the new website. As you can tell, it's still developing. But I appreciate everybody's input, everything. I'm trying to get it streamlined, trying to get it issue free. I have one small issue it's actually a pretty big issue to me. On the mobile site, the little plus sign in the corner doesn't work correctly. It brings you to a white page with all the links there, like it's in a white font. I don't know how to fix that. If anybody has any idea on how to fix websites, you can email me or DM me. Email me at Brightside Home Theater, or you can DM me on Twitter at Brightside HT. Any and all help regarding the website, I really appreciate. I'm trying to work my way through this and learn how to do it instead of having somebody else do it. But a big thanks to Martin. He runs the Nerdy Legion. He's helped me tremendously throughout this. I've kind of been bothering him a lot lately with my little questions, and I'd like to stop doing that. But thank you to Martin, because he really helped me get this website up and running. Even though I didn't go with the provider, he wanted me to use WordPress. I couldn't figure that out. It was too complicated for me, so I ended up going with Squarespace. I like Squarespace. I understand WordPress is awesome, but even my brother said, you should have used WordPress. I'm like, I know. But I can manage everything I have here. I'm just trying to keep it simple, keep a place for all of us to go to be able to talk about all the fun stuff in our home theaters. So please use the comments there. Trying to funnel everybody in that direction. If you email me or tweet me, that's fine too. I don't mind that. But if we could get everybody going to one place, that would be great, because I know a lot of people don't use Twitter. People are trying to get away from that. And if you just go to the website, then, you know, we can keep the conversation to ourselves. Not that there aren't. I have yet to have any bad comments other than my first review back in November. But I've yet to have any bad comments. So I just want to feel like everybody's included. So this is a great place to do it. Comments are open. You can comment anonymously. You have to put your name in, but you don't have to give an email if you don't want. If you want to register, you can do that as well. So I'm trying to develop that website. I appreciate all the feedback, all the help everybody's given me so far. If anybody has any tips or anything else, let me know. So let's get to this week's comments. First up, we have Brian Fuller at Brian_Fuller7. At Brightside HT, watching Nightcrawler on Netflix. I really like this movie. Not sure why it took me so long for me to watch it. It was totally my jam, cerebral and edgy. I haven't seen that one yet, but by the cerebral and edgy, it sounds like my jam as well. Not that I use the term my jam, but okay. But yeah, maybe my wife and I'll check that one out. I know I'll definitely check it out, but maybe that'll be a date night coming up. Brian Fuller also says, I also watched The Shape of Water as a date night movie last weekend. It was surprisingly good. I was skeptical of how they were going to make a love story work with a monster. The 50s sci-fi vibe was an unexpected approach. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet either. But again, sounds like another date night. Sounds good. Up next, we have a conversation. Steve George at Legal Beagle OK tweeted, at Brightside HT, finally got around to watching Lucy in the home theater. Holy cow. Now I know why, in the case of this particular movie, you cannot judge it by watching it on a phone. Top-notch video and audio. It's like an in-store demo. video made into an action film. To which OD Photography replied, "He has seen the light, my friends." Adriano the Nerd, Adriano Tweets 87, also replied, "I didn't like this movie first time I watched it years ago. Thought it was largely forgettable. But between the episodes of the podcast and the positive comments since, I'm getting tempted to give it another watch when I get the chance." Then Steve replied, "I didn't think too much of it first time around on my phone, but it's a very different home theater experience. And at only 89 minutes, it doesn't outstay its welcome." Steve also says, "It really did blow me away. I really enjoyed the sheer insanity of it all, especially with the demo-worthy presentation from start to finish. This and King of the Monsters are what I'll use to demo my subs from now on." So, yeah, you see what a difference it can make when you go from a phone to a big screen. We've all seen Steve's theater. It's a great theater. Of course, it doesn't do it justice when you're watching on a phone. But yes, Adriano, definitely check this out. Get back to us when you have. Check this. Lucy is so good in a theater. It's a demo movie for sure. I love the way Steve put that. It's an in-store demo video made into an action film. That's a great way to put it, because it really is from beginning to end. It's such a good movie. So have some fun with that, Adriano, and get back to us when you've seen it. I'm sure you'll be raving about it as well. And new to Twitter is Mark V at BrightsideHT. "Hi, DJ. Please review Halloween 2018. I wish this movie was in Atmos, but the DTS:X sounds awesome anyways. This is a testament to a great music score by John Carpenter. This movie wouldn't be this great without the sound. Would love to hear your thoughts, Mark." Then he says, "Sorry, new to Twitter, wasn't sure how to put this in your page, LOL. He DM'd me on Twitter. He is one of the new followers that we'll get to. I said, "I plan to do that movie in October for Halloween, for the Halloween theme. I figured Halloween would go well with that." And I'm really looking forward to it. I saw that movie in the theater with my wife, and we really enjoyed it. So I was really looking forward to this October to feature that movie. So that's definitely on the list. And he replied to that saying, "Awesome. You're really entertaining. I rewatched John Wick and Lucy in new perspectives because of your podcast. Heard about you through HT guys. Keep up the great work." Thank you, Mark. And I really appreciate that. And I try every week to try and bring something new. Try to be as entertaining as you can without sounding like, "That was awesome." You know, the Chris Farley scene. Doing the best I can. I appreciate all the compliments. Thank you. Now I've got an email from a new listener, Nelson A. Says, "Hi, DJ. Just wanted to let you know that I recently started listening to your podcasts, and I am enjoying your views and breakdowns of the 4K titles. You are very enthusiastic on your views, and it's very entertaining. Keep up the good work. I just heard your week 33 John Wick episode, and it brought back memories when you mentioned Laserdisc. I have been into AV for over 35 years, and Laserdisc was one of the main reasons I got into home theater. I started this great hobby in the 80s, and thankfully, I'm still around and still loving this hobby. And yes, I still have an operational Pioneer Laserdisc player." Whew, that's awesome. "We have come a long way in technology for home theater. It amazes me that we can get better picture and sound from a home theater than most commercial theaters. By the way, if you are a fan of Flash Gordon from the 80s, you should absolutely pick up the new 4K Blu-ray, as it is a visual stunner." And then from there, he listed his home theater and sent pictures, which we will be featuring his theater in the future. I can totally tell we were both born into this hobby at the same time, because when I review his theater, I'll explain, but I really got the vibe just from the first couple of pictures that we both came out of the 80s because of, well, I'll get into it when we do his theater in the future. I have a few to go before I get to him, because I'm taking them in order that they come in. So be on the lookout for Nelson's in the future. But yeah, as to Flash Gordon, I actually wasn't a fan of Flash Gordon in the 80s, but I am a fan of the disc. I haven't seen the disc yet, but everything I'm hearing, including Nelson's opinion of it, it's a visual stunner, and it makes me want to grab it just for that reason. And of course, that would make me a fan of it. And his other point about our theaters being better than most commercial theaters. I agree with you. It is surprising because you pay all that money to go to the movies and you would expect better. But at the same time, most people don't know the difference. And two, they can't put the love and the attention into every theater that we put into our individual theaters. If something's not right, we have to get it right. Whereas in most commercial theaters, they don't do that. They put speakers on the wall, they put a screen up, and to the majority of the public, like 98% of the public, that's fine. They're happy, they're at the theater, and that's it. Kind of doesn't surprise me, but it's because that is the case. But it is nice that we have what we have and we can tell the difference when we go to a theater. And it does make it nice when you go to a commercial theater like a Dolby Cinema that actually plays the movies the way they're supposed to be played. So it makes you appreciate when you see a really good movie in a really good commercial cinema. I got another email from G. Cornell. I don't know his full name. I just know that that's what the email comes with. And he emailed saying, good chat with Braden. I use the Little Bambino with Great Northern Packets, a companion to my hot dog toaster. And then he sent three links. So once I clicked on the three links, that sentence made a lot more sense to me. So I'd never heard of the Little Bambino or the Great Northern Packets. I have heard of a hot dog toaster. But the Little Bambino is a popcorn maker. Great Northern Packets are a brand of popcorn kernels and a hot dog toaster that he has. And he sent the links for all of them. I've included them in the show notes. I've already ordered my hot dog toaster, and I'm actually thinking of grabbing the Great Northern Packets to try them with my popcorn maker. I'm really looking forward to that hot dog toaster, though. Hopefully it'll be in by next week and I can comment on it. So before I get to the last piece of news slash tweet, let's welcome in some new people to the Twitter community. Let's welcome Aaron, Chris, GR44, David, Mark, Victoria, Jorge, and Scammerhead, which Scammerhead is actually the movie that comes out in October. They're following Brightside Home Theater. So welcome Scammerhead and everybody else. Now, let's get to this last piece of news that pertains to something that happened last week for me and the Brightside Home Theater podcast. So last week, I was listening to the HT Guys podcast, then AV Rant. So here it goes. First thing in the morning, HT Guys podcast is there. Boom, I put it on. They open the show with Braden talking about being on this show. And I was blown away. They were so kind, talking about how it was easy to talk to, blah, blah, blah. Go and listen to the podcast. It was awesome. But then they had mentioned that they would like to come back, which is great. That's what we plan on doing. Then they also mentioned about having me on their show. And I was blown away. I was, oh, great. That would be, I would love to do that. Then from there, Ara and Braden start talking about having all five of us on a show together. And I was like, oh, this is great because this is what I wanted. This is the community I wanted. This is like everybody getting together, and to have the five of us together would be great. I was so excited to hear this. I was blown away. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to tweet it out right away because I trying to play it cool, you know, act like you've been there like I'm doing right now. Right. So I finished that podcast. Great podcast, as always. Then I go over to AV Rant. AV Rant had just come out. I hit play on that. And of course, at the beginning of that pod, not of course, surprising to me, they mentioned me. And it's like, so Tom's going through some issues with his home, if you're listening to that podcast. And they're planning out whether he's going to be able to make it or not. And then Tom mentions my name. He says, DJ would love to come on this podcast. I played this for my wife and she's like, did you ask? I was like, no, I never asked to go on their podcast. I would never do that. That's awkward. My parents would, you know, it's like asking your friend, can I come over and play? My mother would kill me if I ever did that. So I was raised, nope, you just wait till you're asked. So I've been waiting. If anybody wanted to ask me, well, first, HT guys say it earlier in the morning, and now Tom's saying this, and she's like, how can he say that? Aren't you mad? I go, no, because he's not wrong. I'm dying to go on their podcast. Yeah, Tom is 100% right. I would love to be on their podcast. That would be great, too. Hang out with both of them, one of them, if I'm filling in. I would be nervous as hell filling in for Tom, because I don't know if I can bring the rant the way he can, but I'd try to just be myself, I guess. But anyways, what a big week for me. I tweeted it out. Oh boy, oh boy. I was ecstatic. Any of you listeners that listen to these shows, if you've ever thought of starting your own podcast, and now all of a sudden these podcasts you've been listening to talk about you, it's very exciting. I hope it's entertaining for you guys when we all get together, because Rob replied to my tweet saying, once Tom has, you know, a place to live and an internet connection again, we will definitely have to look into this. I have an idea in mind for a format. So Rob's already got ideas in his head on what we can do for this. Ara and Braden have plans. This is great. I'm excited. Everything going forward is very exciting. Thank you to both of those podcasts, HD Guys and AV Rant. It's been great. I look forward to everything that's to come in the future. Now, enough about me. Let's talk about the Fuller Theater. So if you go to the website, Brightside Home Theater, and click on Featured Theaters, you'll see Brian's there, Fuller Theater. And the first picture we have is from outside the room. From the back side of the room, you see his popcorn maker on the left and a really nicely set up room. The next picture is you stepping into the room. You can see his JVC NX7 hanging from the ceiling. Really nice projector. This is that projector I'm jealous of. I have my Sony. It's the 295. I love my Sony, but I keep hearing that the JVC NX7 is just that much better. And when I hear Rob talk about, Rob on AV Rant actually talked about it a couple of weeks ago and comparing the two. And they're like, they're both really good projectors, but they're just a little bit better. So it's one of those things that maybe someday that was, you know, the NX7's a little more money. I'm very, very happy with my Sony, but yes, I am jealous of the NX7 because I know the black levels are just that much better. So someday for me, someday. But yeah, you could see the NX7 hanging, and you can see his Silver Ticket 120-inch screen hanging beautifully on that stoned wall. Looks really nice. I love the setup here. I love the colors, and he later tweeted me telling me that he's changing the colors to a darker room to darken the room a little bit. But I love how the monochromatic look, the way it, you know, all the furniture fits in. And once the lights are out, I'm sure it looks really nice anyways. That didn't come out right. It sounds like a dig, but I'm sure it all blends anyways, but it looks really nice. I love the stone and how the speakers are in the stone. Your front left, right, and center channel speakers are set into the stone. Looks really nice. He's got his subs in the front corners, and he has two clips. R112 SW 12-inch subs positioned. It looks like they're positioned on either corner, because if you go to the next picture, you see one in the left side of the room. And if you go back up to the second picture, you see one on the right side of the room. So, you know, Rob would want those on opposite corners, Brian, but I know sometimes logistics don't allow. But he did say that he is going to be upgrading in February, I believe. He's going to be upgrading to some SVS PC 2000s. So that ought to really up the bass in this room. Then in the third picture, if you go to the third picture, you see nicely laid out coffee table. He's got three Blu-rays ready to go, a magazine. Underneath, I think, is that the manuals to his equipment? I always try to keep my manuals handy. I know we can Google stuff now, but I have mine in a drawer in my theater. On a little table. Always have those at the ready, just in case I'm ready to tweak something in the room and I want to know a certain setting or something. But then the fourth and last picture is a shot of the ceiling where you can see his three of them. One of them's behind the JVC, but you see his in-ceiling speakers, and he has an RBH 724 Atmos system. Really nice. And what's running this whole theater is a Denon AVR X6700H receiver, fantastic receiver. I love Denon. I have a Denon myself. Really like that. He has a Panasonic DB UB 420 UHD Blu-ray player. He's also running an Apple TV 4K, PlayStation Pro, and runs the whole thing using a Harmony Elite. Four pictures, list of equipment. You know he listens to AV Rant. If you didn't get that from the silver ticket screen, then I don't know. Then you don't listen to AV Rant, and maybe you should. But overall, I love this theater in that it isn't necessarily a dedicated room. If you go back to the first picture, you can see you're walking. It looks like the back of the room is open. He has his rear channel speakers on like a table behind the seated position. That's a no-no from Tom, but who cares? Tom doesn't like it. Brian does. I myself would probably lean the way Brian is going. I may move the table back a little bit, but that's up to him. So, just like some people crank their rear channels a little bit higher because they want to hear him. I think Ara mentioned that when I talked to him, that he likes to goose those a little bit. So move them a little closer. What's the difference? To each his own. I'm loving this. I've seen a lot more than you guys have already seen from the theaters that people are sending in. I'm getting ideas. This RBH system gives me great. I wanted to get RBH. I asked AV Rant what I should be getting for speakers when I did my upgrade, and my wife ended up getting me my NHTs for Christmas, but I couldn't afford the RBHs. I think that's the I'm pretty sure I know that's the direction I'm going to go for my forever speakers when I redo that again in a few years. But yeah, this is a beautiful theater, and it doesn't have to be a dedicated room. This theater to me really looks like you get all the ambience, everything that you're looking for in a theater. Walls are looking a little bare. Maybe some posters up there would really tie this in. Like Braden said last week, throw a couple of nice classic posters up on this wall. I think it would add to the theme of the room. The room looks very classic to me. So great theater. Thanks for the input, Brian. And again, everybody, keep the theaters coming. If you'd like your theater featured, email me, tweet at me, email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com or tweet at me at brightsidehT. Send me some pictures, description of your theater, and I'll feature it here. And like I said before, it doesn't have to be an extravagant theater. It could be a sound bar and a TV and your plans. Whatever you would like, I would be happy to feature it because all of these theaters are different. But they all mean something to these owners, and it's just so much fun to go through them. And I know I've always gotten ideas from other people as things go along, and this is a lot of fun. Keep them coming. I really appreciate it. And I hope you guys do too. So moving on, we'll move on to this week's movie, and I'm going to open it with an email I got from John M. And the subject line of the email was "Sad Week." And then John goes on to say, "Watched Black Panther, great 3D transfer. Watched 42, great production, good 5.1 track. Then watched Superman 78, my favorite superhero movie still. They did a real service to home theater with the Atmos remix. You do have to select it from menu, but wow, so many demo-worthy scenes. Just unreal what Atmos and DTS:X is capable of when you use it properly and fully." So before we get into the passing of Chadwick Boseman and this week, just like to comment on the Superman from 1978. I thought when I got this email, I thought I had reviewed Superman from 78, the 4K transfer, and I didn't. Not on this podcast. My buddy and I did it as a part of the comic book podcast that we do, just talking about the movie itself. So it looks like I'm going to have to do that one at some point because I really enjoyed that. But yeah, if you're watching that movie, you have to pick the Atmos track. It defaults to the 5.1, which is very disappointing, but it gives you an opportunity to AB there because it's so much better. The Atmos track is so much better. So I'll definitely be reviewing that one in the future. I completely agree with John on that. It's a great Atmos track, and what a difference. So yes, it is a sad week. I didn't get the news Friday night. I woke up to it Saturday morning on my phone that Chadwick Boseman had passed. And immediately I went to, like everybody else, what do you think when you hear Chadwick Boseman's name? You think of Black Panther. And I haven't done the review on Black Panther yet because I wanted to do a Black Panther, like the 4K 3D comparison. And in all of this, it's embarrassing to me, but I'd never bought the 3D version. I thought I had. I have a stack of 3D movies that I'm ready to do ABs to with the 4K version. And I thought this was one of them. And I'll give a rough outline on Black Panther. So I felt like the 4K, the Atmos mix on that wasn't as strong as it could have been. It wasn't as bad as Ragnarok, but I felt like it could have been punchier. And what I'm really looking forward to is the 3D version really getting you into that movie even more. Because the 4K version is really nice and it enhances those darker scenes. Like at the opening scene is at nighttime and you can barely see anything. In the 1080p version, everything looks kind of washed out to me, but the 4K version looks a lot more crisp, like much better with the HDR. I don't want to get into everything because I will be doing this movie in the future. But when I realized after going through my entire collection multiple times, looking everywhere for it, I swear I thought I owned the 3D transfer of Black Panther. When I realized I didn't have it, I decided I'm going to do 21 Bridges. I hadn't seen 21 Bridges yet. And once I realized I didn't have the 3D, I couldn't do the Black Panther movie. I was like, you know what? Let's do 21 Bridges. Cause like I said, I haven't seen it, but everybody's going to Black Panther. Everything since Chadwick Boseman passed has been talking about Black Panther. And I'm like, let's see if I can turn this into a home theater movie. And I think I make the case. I think you should own this disc. It's only a 1080p version. It's, you know, the Blu-ray. I hope they come out with the 4K, but let's play this trailer. Listen to my case. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this movie as much as I do. If you don't own it, well, let's play the trailer. We'll go spoiler free for a little bit. Then the popcorn will pop and we'll get into some spoilers. So rest in peace, Chadwick. You're a tremendous actor. Let's get to it.
Your father died protecting this city.
Freeze, eh? Hold!
He taught you to follow your conscience in an often cruel world.
What happened?
Worst day in 18 years.
How many cops?
8.
Why were they here?
They responded to a robbery.
Shots fired! Shots fired! Officer down!
Automatic weapons, 2 shooters. They have training.
How old were you when your father's Captain King? I asked for you for a reason.
I will find out.
We just killed cops. You need to run.
We gotta move fast. Cars not ours, plates are stolen.
We will catch these guys in the next 3 or 4 hours. They vanish.
How are you gonna do this?
Close the island.
Got 21 bridges in and out of Manhattan. Shut them down. 3 rivers, close them. 4 tunnels, block them. Stop every train and loop the subways.
Then, we flood the island with blue.
Mask on, dog. Your mask on.
None of this makes sense.
The bid was for 30 keys. We walked into 300.
Mask on, dog. Your mask on.
They'll have to open Manhattan by morning. 8 dead policemen is one thing,
but the stock market losing billions of dollars is quite another.
This whole thing is filthy. You know what I mean? You gotta be to move 300 kilos of cocaine.
Oh my God.
What is going on here?
I just need the truth, that's all.
They told me you were fearless. The guy who kills cop killers. Sees his dad and every cop who dies.
Nobody approach him. He's mine.
Police, out of the way, move!
You're not gonna escape the silence.
You're the only cop tonight who speaks first and shoots second.
I will find out why tonight happened.
Rep the fit, yeah, gotta rep the fit, dang.
I remember that trailer from last year. I saw that trailer so many times going to the movies. I couldn't wait for this movie to come out. I was really looking forward to it. And then November hit, and it wasn't until December and January that I realized I hadn't seen the movie. And just now, I'm thinking of why, what happened. And that was the Star Wars craze. I was in the middle for my other podcast of getting all caught up, watching every episode of Star Wars, working our way up to Rise of Skywalker. And I completely lost track of anything else. And I'm really disappointed I didn't get to see this in the theater. Of course, I got to see it in my theater. I'm hoping this comes out in 4K. As always, we'll go spoiler free for a little bit here. This is only out in a Blu-ray version with a DTS Master Audio 5.1 mix. It's a pretty good mix, and it's definitely, I think, worth picking up. There's some really nice scenes in here. A lot of nice nuance to this movie. It's not a reference movie that's going to blow you out of your seats or anything like that. But as a home theater fan, there's some good things in here that I will reference and we'll get into, and we'll make this movie fun. The overall picture, it was nice. It's a 1080p picture, fairly dimly lit movie. The movie takes place at night, so, you know, that's what you're going to get. And obviously with HDR, it would be a little bit better, I got to imagine. The detail was nice, though. I thought there was some good detail in the shadows. I thought that it wasn't really lacking, but, you know, when you're used to a 4K picture with HDR, you would hope for a little bit more when you're watching something like this. Who knows? Maybe the 4K version wouldn't ramp it up too much. I don't know. It depends on the cut of the 4K. I will say that there's one particular scene that I'll get to that it looked fantastic for detail. This scene here is probably one of the standout scenes of the movie, both for the picture and for Chadwick Boseman's acting ability. And I really can't wait to get into that scene with you guys, because it's that scene alone, I think, is worth purchasing this disc. If you haven't seen the movie, maybe rent the movie. I'm sure this scene is still going to be a great example of the picture, even streaming, and a great example of his acting abilities. And obviously with his passing last week, it even accentuates it even more. But this one scene that I'll get to when we get into spoilers, it's a reference scene to me because of one, it shows the capabilities of a really good picture and a well shot scene, but the acting ability. That's what I would say when I'm bringing somebody into my theater for this scene that I'm talking about, is I would say, you've got to see this. This is incredible. I've already done it with my son. I'm like, you have to see this. It's incredible. Just watching what goes on. And like I said, talk about a tease when we get into spoilers, but that scene alone is definitely worth the purchase of this movie. And there are a few other scenes as well. The details in the cityscapes, I know, could be enhanced with HDR, but they still look beautiful here. You see the New York City skyline at night and the lights, and just how nice those scenes could pop if you had some HDR and popping out some of those colors with the extra, you know, color gamut. But nothing really to complain about. Nothing that detracted from the movie picture wise. Nothing made you go, ooh, that didn't look good. So definitely, I mean, like I said, a Blu-ray, if all they have right now is Blu-ray, I still recommend picking it up. If this comes out in 4K, it's going to be a fun comparison, because I've already noted some scenes that I would love to see in 4K and with the HDR. So we'll see. Hopefully we get that in the future, but if not, this is still a good disc. The audio, nice audio too. Nice bass, nice use of surrounds, actually really nice use of surrounds. But I felt like there's some scenes in here where Atmos or a DTS:X version would really enhance some of the overhead scenes, maybe a little bit of the bass, but, you know, That's not necessarily the case, because you can still, you know, I say all the time, you can still have a great 5.1 mix, but I think that they could enhance this a little bit with some Atmos or DTS:X. But also the audio in this, and one of the, you know, another one of the reference scenes is, it's not based on just the audio, but, or the audio that's played, it's the audio that isn't played. There's some silent scenes in this movie that are really show off how to use sound appropriately to set the mood for the scene, or to make that scene that much more poignant. And I'll get to that in spoilers as well. But also, listen all around your room throughout this entire movie. There's some great use of the surrounds, of ambient sounds, of things going, just anything going on. It's very rarely is there dead silence where nothing is being used. Even in conversation, you'll hear just a lot of great ambient sounds around the room. Just a really good mix, a 5.1 mix. But like I said, an Atmos or a DTS:X may enhance this a little bit more. And the last thing I'd like to say before we get into the spoilers is, typically I don't talk about the movie itself, but in case you haven't seen the movie, I found this movie to be fairly predictable. Like I knew exactly what was going on, but I was still engaged throughout this movie. I wanted to see how it exactly played out. It's billed as a suspense thriller, but I didn't find it to be that suspenseful. It's your typical story. You'll know what I mean when you see it, but it's well acted, it's well played out, and it's engaging the entire time. But there's not for a second did I not know exactly what was going on here, but it was still definitely entertaining and engaging throughout. So like I said, overall, it is definitely worth picking up. If you haven't seen this movie, pick it up. Pause the podcast, because the popcorn's popping. We're going to get into the spoilers now. Let's get into the spoilers and break this movie down. And of course, we start with the opening scene. And there was some really cool, subtle thunder rumble during the logo, which was pretty cool. But then the screen goes blank and you can hear a priest talking, and it's echoing throughout the church. You don't know it's a priest. You don't know they're in a church, but as soon as you hear it, you know it's a priest in a church. It was that accurately done. I really enjoyed that right away. Plus, I mean, you kind of see it in the trailer too, but the sound of the echoing sounded just like being in a church. Much like I said a couple of weeks ago, talking about John Wick, when they walked into the church and the echoes, and it reminded me of my Yamaha receiver back in the day and set it to church setting. That's what this scene sounded like. It was really, really cool, because you knew exactly what was going on before it even happened. But then the scene goes to, at 2:40, they're exiting the church, or the casket is being brought out, and there's a nice rumble of bass that you can feel in your seat as they look down from above the church as you see the casket being brought out and put into the hearse. Really cool. I love those little rumbles that aren't like, they're not overpowering to the room, but you can feel it in your seat. It's, you know, it's a transition scene or something, but that one was really cool. Jump to 10:10, and this is where Taylor Kitsch's character, Ray, just punches the store owner, and you don't really see it coming the first time you see it, and he just unloads, and the punch and the bass is just so strong, it hit, you can feel it in your chest, and it's really quick. There was some really nice bass leading up to it, so you're kind of set for it, but when he finally unloads that punch on him at exactly 10:10, it's just really, it just ramps that bass up even more. And all the while that during this scene, the score seems to hang in the middle of the room, but the dialogue is dead set, you know, right in the front of your room, right where it should be. But the score, and actually, if I remember right, it actually seemed to move the score, that is, moved from the center of your room to the back of your room and then back to the middle of your room. And like I said, but the dialogue is anchored on the front of your screen. Really, really nice use of sound mix here that I really enjoyed. Then the scene progresses to 13 minutes and 5 seconds, and this is where the cops come in, and they bust in the door. Real nice bass. Gunfire is really good, very distinct, accurate bass to each shot because they're using the, you know, suppressed guns, which they mention in the movie later on. And the ricochets, and this is another one of those scenes that I talk about in Gunfire where I really enjoy it, where you can hear where the shot comes from, but then you hear where the shot lands, and then you have bullets ricocheting around the room, so you'll have sounds coming from the back, but then you know that they're bouncing. It's hard in a podcast to describe exactly which way everything goes, but just pay attention and you can hear things bouncing around your room. So much fun. This scene progresses to the car crash as Ray and Michael escape and they go down the alleyway, but then their car crashes into another cruiser that shows up. Really nice bass here. And the gunfire outside is also just as engaging. Very accurately localized around your room to where it should be. And then the bullets accurately landing where they should be. So you'll have gunfire on one side, you'll have bullets flying on the other, or you'll have like Taylor Kitsch's character Ray, he'll sneak up on a cop and he'll shoot him, but he'll be on the right side of the screen, but the cop is kind of on the, or vice versa, Taylor Kitsch was on the left side of the screen, the cop was kind of middle right. He'll fire from the left and the cop, you'll hear the cop get hit and then his gurgle, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, on the right side, almost right center. Very good job of accurately placing these sounds. It just, there's a lot here. So, you know, just have fun with it. Like I said, close your eyes. I love doing that. Close your eyes and listen to some of these scenes. They're pretty good use, which is why I say like an Atmos, maybe it would ramp up a little bit more in the accuracy because it's a little more discreet. I don't know, but it's pretty good as it is. It's a pretty dynamic scene and it takes about 3 minutes. So it's definitely worth the watch this scene over and over. And then that progresses to a pretty quick scene here that the first time I saw it was almost a jump scene. They're about to run the red light. Michael's telling Ray, don't. And you're like, what's going on? Like the first time you're watching this. Speaking of which, Michael, played by Stefan James, I don't know him from anything, but he was fantastic in this. I thought he was really, really good playing the role the way he did in that he's supposed to be a criminal, but he's a really smart kid that just kind of went the wrong way. And I love the dynamic that he played there. But anyway, so Michael's like, Don't run it. And then when they run it, you get that big bass shot, like boom, when the camera goes off. And that it was kind of a jump scene because I could feel it when that camera went off. And it was pretty cool, but it's really quick. It's at 16 minutes and 10 seconds, but it's pretty cool. Then this next scene at 18 minutes and 50 seconds, I love this scene. I'm labeling it as a reference scene. Because it's the subtleties that make this hobby so much fun. You can bring people in your room and show them big explosions and dinosaur stomping. And those are fun. But when you do this like we do over and over, it's the little things too that stand out. And this scene here at 18 minutes and 50 seconds is a scene between J.K. Simmons and Chadwick Boseman. And it's just a dialogue scene. So J.K. Simmons' character, Captain McKenna, is talking with Andre, Chadwick Boseman, but listen all around your room. The dialogue in this scene is very important. It sets basically the tone for the entire movie. Everybody wants Andre to kill the bad guys because, as we know, we're in spoilers here. The cops are all in on it. Everybody, you know, most of the precinct is in on this. It's their cocaine. It's their money. It's blah, blah, blah. So, you know, listening to this scene, you know that J.K. Simmons is one of the bad cops. So the dialogue is very important the first time you see this. but go back and listen to this scene again and try to ignore the dialogue and pay attention to everything else going on around the room. At the beginning, there's a helicopter that actually circles your room. There are police cars whizzing up and down the side of your room. They go down the left side from front to rear. They go to, I think a fire truck goes by early on and it with the horn going. There's a police car going on the right side of the room. There's sirens going all around. And it's not just stationary. The sounds are moving. Sometimes they stay in one place, but they'll fade out and there'll be a sound popping up someplace else. Your entire room is engaged. The first time you see it, you probably don't even pay attention because the dialogue is so crystal clear. It's so good. It's so anchored on the screen and you're paying attention to that. But as this scene plays out and you listen, here's the funny thing. Where are all these cars going? It's just like there's so much going on when you only pay attention to that and you try to ignore the dialogue. It's like where there's cars whizzing around like crazy. You'd think they'd all eventually get there at some point because they've been at this scene for a while. So the like third and fourth time I watched this scene trying to pay attention to all the different sounds, I'm like, okay, hasn't everybody arrived yet? But it is a really cool scene that really sets the ambience for what's going on and a really good use of sound to set the mood and set the scene. It was really, really cool. Then after that whole scene plays out at 29:45, we have Shut 'Em Down. And that's when Chadwick Boseman says, shut 'em down, and they're going to shut down all the bridges. And it's basically like, okay, here we go. All the helicopters take off, so we get great base there. Police cars are on the move all around the city, and it's a really cool dynamic scene as it, basically the entire police force is activated around the city, and a lot of, you know, room-filling sound as they demonstrate this with the score and everything else that's going on. Then at 36 minutes and 52 seconds, we have a helicopter flyby. There's quite a few of these actually throughout the movie. I don't know if that's just something with the sound designer really likes to do helicopter flybys, but Chadwick Boseman asks a suspect, the woman, to sit down in a chair. And right after he says it, very loudly, you hear a helicopter come from your like left rear, go down to your front left and like almost exit out the front center channel. They're in an apartment building and just all of a sudden a helicopter goes by, just whizzes right by, but pretty cool. But like I said, it didn't need to be there and I'm sure it wasn't there when they filmed the scene, but it was pretty cool just setting the stage for the chaos that's going on in the city and how they're searching for Ray and Michael. Then at 40 minutes and 15 seconds, we're looking down on the city and we come in with another helicopter flyby. This time he comes from the right rear to the front of the room, but the scene pauses, the camera, I should say, pauses looking down on the city directly straight down, much like the scene at the opening when they brought the casket out. But now you're looking down at the entire city. And you have the bass rumbling from the helicopter blades, which you can feel in your seat. It's a very nice scene. This is one of those scenes where I think 4K HDR would really enhance the scene and maybe make those highlights pop a little more, all the while keeping those dark scenes, dark parts of the scene really dark. This is where HDR, I think this is one of those scenes I'd love to be able to compare with an HDR cut. I think you could really get a lot more out of this scene here. Then at 44 minutes and 5 seconds, we have a positive ID on the suspects. They're at a nightclub, and in this scene here, your room will turn into a nightclub. The bass, it's just that, I mean, I'm not even going to imitate it, but feel it in your chest, feel it in your seat. And in my room with a, 110-inch screen, if you're in a dedicated room or you're even in your living room with a good size screen, the lights flashing will flash throughout it. The light coming off the screen will light the rest of your room like a nightclub because it's supposed to be dark anyways. So watching this scene in a really dark room with the screen, I mean, it's your room turns into a nightclub. It's just a fun scene. And then all of that is accentuated when the cops shoot the suspect. So you think you're getting hit with all of this bass and all of the bass, and the scene can't go any further. And then the cop pulls out a gun and just shoots the suspect, and you get this nice bass shot from the gunshot. Really, I mean, that one, you could feel that one as well. And imagine this scene again in HDR with where you can really ramp up between the darks and the lights in a nightclub. Now, this next scene is, I really, really like this scene. Again, I'm labeling this one as a reference scene. It's at 53 minutes and 20 seconds. I'm calling it "He Ain't Like Me," which is the quote that Ray, Taylor Kitsch's character, says as he's dying. This scene has, I made note of this scene and watched this scene over and over because of the absence of sound, or the perceived absence of sound, because as Taylor Kitsch is dying here, you can hear his breathing. And then very clearly you can hear him say, you know, he's trying to get out. He ain't like me. He ain't like me. But it's the silence that you hear of just his breathing. And then almost like the ventilation system is what's filling your room of the quote unquote silence. And then after he says for the last time, he ain't like me, you just hear the breathing, each breath, and each breath gets less and less until finally you can't hear any more breaths. So you know he has then passed. And then there's this distinct sound of the leather in his jacket crinkling as his head tilts right after he died. This scene in at reference level, I think, is so powerful because it's that ventilation sound, which is not sound. It's supposed to be silence. And then the powerfulness of, if that's a word, powerfulness, if the powerfulness of each individual breath fading away. And then when you heard that leather crinkle, that to me is amazing because what the sound designers are like, we have to put something in here to just, you know, put that exclamation point on this scene to really show like he's dying, but also to show how silent this scene is, because to hear the leather wrinkle, it was so strong. And then if that's not enough, when you transition from this scene to the next scene, we go from that hallway that Taylor Kitsch died in to a kitchen scene, and then the sound in your room changes dramatically. It like completely different set of noises all around your room, only emphasizing exactly how quiet that hallway was when Taylor Kitsch just died. This is one of those reference scenes that if you're not really into this hobby, then you just be, oh, okay. Yeah. Like that's supposed to happen. But we know from watching scene after scene that these things just don't happen. Like that article that I talked about last week where they didn't use airplane noises in Midway. They used something else. And if you don't know what it is, you can go look it up. The article is linked to last week's notes. But yeah, I thought this scene was so much fun. It's a sad scene because Taylor Kitsch is dying, but as a home theater scene, this is a very good scene to watch over and over. And it was very poignant to me. Then we move to an action scene, more of an action scene than that, at 1 hour, 6 minutes and 49 seconds. Hold it right there. Basically the police are chasing down Michael here. Andre, Chadwick Boseman, and the police are chasing him through the city. Really good use of all the channels as the chase goes on. You hear police cars, you hear helicopters, gunshots going out. They're all filling the room. The score is filling the room. And it's all moving around the room as the scene is moving around the room, or as the camera is moving throughout the scene. So if at one point a car is going down the sidewalk, but you can hear that on that side of the room, it's very engaging scene, very entertaining. And right from there, we go into the subway. Again, another nice transition and change in sound, dramatic change in sound. At 1 hour, 10 minutes and 55 seconds, we're in the subway. But what I thought was cool about this scene was, yeah, the dramatic change in sound from the chase up on the streets. So you had a little bit of quiet time down there in the subway. But then when the subway actually started to move and Chadwick Boseman's on the sub with Michael and the subway starts to move, the bass, the rumble that you felt in your seat, it felt like you were on the subway with them. Like your room was vibrating right along with the subway as it started away. And then from there, we're going to jump to 1 hour, 25 minutes and 16 seconds. This is the scene I was talking about earlier when we were talking spoiler free. This is the scene that to me exemplifies how you shoot a scene, lighting, everything. And more importantly, the acting ability of Chadwick Boseman. I'm giving this scene 3 boxes of popcorn as a reference scene for both of those reasons, because this scene to me was so powerful, and it was the first time I saw it. I didn't pause it while I was watching the movie because I like to play the entire movie out, but I wanted to because I couldn't believe what I had just seen. And then going back afterwards and watching the scene over and over, this is a scene I'm dying to see in 4K, but you could probably get more detail, but I don't think it could be that much more powerful. So this is a scene where, like I said, at 1 hour, 25 minutes, and 16 seconds, so you have J.K. Simmons and Chadwick Boseman, again, having the conversation in Captain McKenna's kitchen, and Andre has Captain McKenna at gunpoint, and it's another dialogue scene. But right at the end of the scene, or at the end of the dialogue, I should say, because it really ramps up from here. But right at the end, when Chadwick Boseman says, "I'd rather look the devil in the eye," check out on the left side of your screen or his right cheek, but check out Chadwick Boseman's cheek. The lighting on this scene, that side is highlighted. His left side of his face is shadowed. And watch his cheek vibrate, because that changes the mood of the scene. Like up until then, you could tell, like, Chadwick Boseman had a smile on his face. He's talking to him. He's smirking. I shouldn't say smiling, because this is a very tense scene. But the intensity of this scene ramps up when you see Chadwick Boseman's cheek start to vibrate. Like that nervous twitch that his cheek is doing, because he knows where this scene is going. He knows what's going on here. He knows he's probably about to be jumped. He knows that, you know, Captain McKenna's probably stalling for time, whatever. But that nervous twitch in his cheek, I don't even know how you do that. That's why I'm not an actor. But how can you make your cheek twitch that certain way? And it's like, it's not his eye, it's his cheek. It goes all the way down, like from, you know, from his cheekbone all the way down to his jaw. You see that little bit. It's not huge. It's, you could tell it's a nervous twitch, but you don't pick up on that if the scene isn't lit properly, if Chadwick Boseman doesn't do a great job of acting that nervous twitch out. It's just, to me, it's just a fantastic scene that, again, emphasizes how important these details are to a scene. And like I said, in 4K with the HDR, maybe we can see a little more detail on the left side of his cheek. But I was just blown away by this scene. Like I said, 3 boxes of popcorn. It's not gonna blow you out of your seat. It's not a unbelievable, rocking scene. But the picture-wise, this scene here is incredible, which I think could only be enhanced even more with a 4K HDR version. But getting rocked out of your seat, it does ramp up from there. Because right after that, that's when Andre, Chadwick Boseman, actually gets ambushed by the rest of the police department that shows up. So we have a gunfight, glasses shattering, guns are going off. Again, all great localization, and guns are firing from where they should fire, and the ricochets and the glass and everything. Really, really nice scene. But then at 1 hour, 27 minutes and 20 seconds, you have the wall between them, and it's, again, the standoff between Andre and Captain McKenna on either side of the wall, and then it just goes off. The gunfight, it just happens quickly. like almost before you even anticipate it. The gunfire here is some of the best gunfire throughout this movie. Very distinct, very powerful. Each gun is seemingly coming from the side of the room that it should come from. I felt like Chadwick Boseman's on your left side of the wall, and then on the other side of the wall, J.K. Simmons is on the other side, and you get the gunfire. It felt like J.K. Simmons' shots were coming from the right side, and Chadwick's were coming from the left side. Debris flying around the room. Rear channels really engaged here. Great accurate bass. Then it goes silent, and you can overhear J.K. Simmons's breaths even before you see him. You know he's down. You know Chadwick Boseman knows he's down because you can hear those breaths even before you see him breathing, much like the Taylor Kitsch's death. And then Chadwick Boseman walks around the corner. He actually sees him now. And of course, this scene's finished off with a really powerful fatal gunshots as J.K. Simmons raises his gun and Chadwick Boseman has no choice and protect himself. So really great finish to that scene right there. Great finish to this movie. I really, really enjoyed this movie even more than I thought I would because of those few detailed quiet scenes. That's why I think this is worth owning. Especially with Chadwick Boseman's passing, this is one of those scenes where you can really point to, look at how great of an actor he was. And that scene there with his cheek and everything and the lighting, and it's just a fantastic scene. It's a great example. I'm glad I did this movie. Everything happens for a reason. If I had happened to have the Black Panther in 3D, maybe I wouldn't have done this movie this week. Who knows? But I'm glad I did it. 2 weeks ago, we did John Wick, which is a reference disc, no doubt. We did Lucy, which is a reference disc. But not everything is like that. And it's the subtleties, it's the nuances that really make this hobby fun. And that's what we're looking for. And I think this is one of those movies that, as a home theater fan, I can call this a home theater movie because of that. So hopefully you do too. Let me know what you think. If you could, go to brightsidehometheater.com, leave your comments below the episode, or you can tweet at me at brightsidehT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. But I'd really like to try and get most of the comments going to the website, keep it all local. That way everybody can use it, whether you're on Twitter or not. I know I have a bunch of listeners that aren't even on Twitter. I have some listeners that are just coming to Twitter because of this. Thank you. But if everybody started going to the website, we could all comment back and forth, and or you guys could comment on what I've said, and everybody could see it. It's a great place for everybody to be funneled to. And you can comment on Brian Fuller's theater as well. That would be great. I love doing the theaters now. I hope everybody's getting ideas. I know I've only done two so far. I've seen a bunch. I have a bunch more to go, and I keep getting more every, you know, a couple more each week. So hopefully that'll be going for a while. But that's it for this week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a great weekend. I will be back next week. I'll be back with another theater. I'll be back with another movie. We'll have some fun. But until then, go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.